Chris, were you actually on the air at the time?
No, I was trying to keep us on the air. Bill was making the announcements for me, and I was checking the news wire, answering phones. So we just ran.
What did you actually have on the air at the time you interrupted with that message? Were you playing music or what, Bill?
Well, it was... we had a special show that was taped that was on at the time. It was about 10 after 4. We were just our regular programming.
Some music
that they were playing. And we broke into that once and said that there was tornado warnings out. And then a couple minutes later, we got the phone call from the gentleman who probably that call saved our life, because we went outside and looked, or we probably wouldn't have looked otherwise. And if we had stayed in the control room, that's where the back wall came. Came right down on the room and just obliterated it.
Well, this is a block building, and the back wall is literally just caved in, and this is the area the Bill's talking about, and I have inspected the building. It's completely destroyed. Bill, there's a very obvious path of destruction leading right up to your radio station, and I assume leading downtown. I have not been able to get downtown. Nobody is being allowed in the city right now.
Well, it just went, as you said, right across the station, and it went right through, really right through the heart of the town, and then on across the river, and you can see where it went up the Indiana shore, up the other side of the river.
Ron was the best newsman in our area, and there's no question about that. But he wasn't your typical newsman. He got the scoop. He always got what he needed. But especially in his later years, he put a lot of time into stories that took us away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. In an interview with Marianne Walker, author of the book When Cuba Conquered Kentucky, started what Ron called his backroads interviews. Here's an excerpt of that. Ron took along his friend Bob Watkins for the interview.
What we want to talk about is the extremely interesting book When Cuba Conquered Kentucky, the triumphant basketball story of a tiny high school that achieved the American dream. It was written by our guest, Marianne Walker, and we want to meet her and ask her why she even took on a project like this, not being a sports nut such as Howie and Bob and Ulvester, and I will freely admit that we are. Just as a way of introduction, I don't even know, Marianne, if you've seen this. Welcome, by the way.
Hello.
I don't know if you've seen this, the Kentucky Living Magazine, the June issue, they give a good introduction to your book. This is good publicity for you. This goes to people all over the state of Kentucky through the rural electric cooperatives, and Marianne has not seen it. It says the Jackson Purchase Area takes the spotlight in two books this summer. Home of the Graves County Cuba Cubs, the area produced in 1952 one of the most exciting high school basketball teams ever to win the state championship. Author Marianne Walker recounts the triumphant rise of the Western Kentucky underdogs in her appealing book, When Cuba Conquered Kentucky, published by Rutledge Hill Press and costing right at $20 at $19.95. Focusing on two of the team's young stars, Doodle Floyd, who we know now is in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Howie Crittenden, who's in Bowling Green. Howie will be one of our guests here this morning. Walker describes the personal challenges and family hardships that strengthen the boys' resolve while on their way to becoming inseparable friends and winning teammates. This book is an emotional and exciting read for anyone who loves basketball and tales of boyhood triumph. Bob, I'm going to give you the pleasure of asking Marianne the very first question about why she wrote this book.
Well, Marianne, I would ask you, this book seemed to me to be more of a people book than a sports book. Would you comment on that?
Yes. I'm not a sports person, a sports expert, and I didn't set out to write a sports book. I set out to write a book about these boys who had a passion for basketball. And I was interested in their background. I was interested in their characters. I was interested in their families. And
a little high school named Carr Creek won the state basketball championship in the 1950s. Don Miller's book called The Overtime Kids piqued Ron's interest. He, Larry Brawner, and a member of that Glendale High School team that played in that same state tournament, and King Jenkins once visited Don Miller.
The tournament was won by Carr Creek. The headlines were stolen by a player out of Wayland called King Kelly Coleman. And before I bring Don in, Larry, I'll ask you, y'all played one and out, did you? Who beat you?
Lexington Lafayette beat us. Yes, we played one and out. We were, I guess it was kind of new to us being at that level of competition. It took us a little while to get going, but the memories of that year and that state tournament are still pretty vivid in my mind.
Well, King Jenkins is also with us, and Keen was there as a spectator. I was there as a 15-year-old spectator, and it's been one of my favorite state tournaments of all time, not just because we're talking with Don Miller, who's written these books about Carr Creek. But, Don, that was just a good state tournament.
Yes, it was. A lot of people thought it, because of many close games, that it probably was as good as any state tournament. Carr Creek, for example, had to throw one in with just a second or two to go to beat Central City by 1 point. And then they did the same thing against Wayland, and the same guy that made it, Freddie Maggard. So they had a tough road. It was not given to them. They had to earn it.
Well, the book is printed by Turner Publishing Company. I want to say that right off the bat. They're at 412 Broadway, Post Office Box 3101, Paducah, Kentucky. Don is not asking me to push his books. He doesn't need me to do that, and he's probably given away more than he's sold. But anyway, if you're interested in the book, that's where you can get it. Don wrote an earlier book about the Carr Creek legacy.
The book did more than pique Ron's interest. You know Ron, he always wanted more. So he, Keene Jenkins, Doug Gibson, and Kenny Tabb drove to the mountains and visited Carr Creek and visited head coach of that team, Morton Combs. The coach was too weak to be interviewed that day, but the four friends talked about their visit.
Bonnie, this is Heart of the Matter. I'm Ron Boone, and I'm with three good friends and travel companions, Keene Jenkins, Doug Gibson, and Kenny Tabb. All are from Elizabethtown. We had a heck of a time, did we not, Mr. Jenkins, this past Saturday?
We had a time that will long be remembered, especially by me, because this trip we took to Eastern Kentucky was my first time up there, and I still haven't gotten over the trip and seeing the mountains and Carr Creek and Coach Combs and all the other activities of the day. It was really a pleasure and an enjoyable trip. I'll always remember that.
Doug Gibson has lived most of his life in Elizabethtown, but Doug, I know for a fact that you were born sort of in the mountains, and Corbin lived, what, 5 or 6 years there?
Yes, Ron. Born there, moved to Elizabethtown when I was 5, so I've been here most of my life, but I still have a lot of feeling for the mountains. Most any time there's a trip or someone like yourself asks me to go to the mountains for one thing or another, I usually am ready to go because I like the area and like the people there.
You know, I've been up the mountain parkway, but it's been a while. I was in Mount Sterling.
Ron was devastated when friend and Sunday school classmate Mike Allen passed away a couple of years ago. At Christmas time, he always had Mike read a story about the Herdmans that told the real story of Christmas. Oh,
we stood at the back of the church, all over now. It was quite a pageant. Then he looked at my mother. "What's that you got?" "It's the ham," she said. "They wouldn't take it back. They wouldn't take any candy either, or any of the little Bibles. But Imogene did ask me for a set of Bible story pictures, and she took out the Mary picture and said it was exactly right, whatever that means. I think it meant that no matter how she herself was, Imogene liked the idea of Mary in the picture, all pink and white and pure looking, as if she'd never washed the dishes or cooked supper, didn't anything at all except have Jesus on Christmas Eve. But as far as I'm concerned..."
Bluegrass music. Oh, bluegrass music. Ron couldn't play the banjo or the mandolin, but that didn't stop his passion for it. He and countless friends drove to Rosine on countless occasions. Here's a piece he did on Jerusalem Ridge, right inside the old Bill Monroe home place. You can tell how proud Ron was of this.
We are very happy to have Campbell Mercer as our guest, a busy, busy gentleman. We've basically tried to run him down, as a lot of other people have, for about 4 months. But we're here now, and we're not just anywhere. We're not doing this in the studio. We're not doing it out by the side of the road. We are inside the Monroe family home, which has been fixed up. And Campbell, first of all, thank you for doing this interview with us. Campbell is, he is really the main man that's pushing the Rosine Project, and I know that you want to be humble and say a lot of other people are helping you, but I'm going to say that you're the main ramrod of this. But thank you for doing it, and thank you for letting us in the restored home here.
You're very welcome, and it's an honor. There's nothing I enjoy more than taking folks to the to this. It's nearly a shrine, you know, historically and culturally hallowed ground. And it is hallowed ground because I use that term in a religious sense, too, because, you know, God is in this house and was in this house when the Monroes lived here and when Bill and Charlie and Uncle Penn all got together and created Bluegrass.
Well, I was over here in August with thousands of other people along this ridge line. It was a hot, humid day. The governor was here. Ricky Skaggs was here.
Mike Jones is one of Ron's friends that drove with him to Rosine for that rededication of the Monroe home place on that hot August day that Ron just talked about. That brought tens of thousands of bluegrass fans back to the music's birthplace.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ron Boone, and this is Heart of the Matter. And, you know, we're proud of this show every Sunday, but to be honest, some shows are shows, and some shows you're really proud of, and this is one we are really proud of. I don't mind telling you, this is the type of interview that has given me a great joy over the last few years, as we've tried to do as many of these as possible. Let's go on location. Not have people come into the studio and interview them, but go where they are and interview them. And we went to where Campbell Mercer was the other day, and where he was on Jerusalem Ridge, and we were soon inside the restored home of the Monroe family, Bill Monroe, the start of bluegrass music.
Ron, there's no way to tell you how much we'll miss you. You impacted so many lives. And the amazing thing about it is that you had no idea of it. That's just the way that you lived your life. Your family, Judy, Buzzy, and Kelly, along with Candy and Bill, your grandchildren, Matthew, Hannah, and Emma, your sister Gretchen, your brother Winton, and your sister Sue, your mother-in-law, Mrs. Wright, they all have voids in their lives now, and so do I, so do we. So does this town. But let's be happy this morning. Let's be happy that we even had a chance to know Ron Boone. Let's celebrate and let's sing about it. Mike Jones wrote and sung a song that Ron loved. It's a memory of that trip to Jerusalem Ridge. So long, Ron Boone. We love you.
Do I hear music on Jerusalem Ridge? I lonesome singing from the hill. Could it be my Kentucky bluegrass heritage? Hearing the ghost of Mr. Bill. I set foot in Rosine. Sweet sounds of music kissed my ear. No bluegrass boys were anywhere to be seen. Who's playing that mandolin I hear? Do I hear music on Jerusalem Ridge? I lonesome singing from the hill. Could it be my...
The preceding program, a tribute to Ron Boone, was previously recorded and is a service of ESPN 1400 WIEL.